Episode 190, Your Relationship with Yourself Replay. Welcome to How to Glow, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm certified coach Kayla Levin, and I help married Jewish women go from surviving and overwhelmed to thriving and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hey, my friends, this May, if you don't know, we are doing a whole focus on wellness, taking care of yourself. We just had I'm actually re-recording this because I just had to say this. We had an incredible, incredible guest class with Lauren Allen. If you want to catch it, you can still get the replay by signing up at kaylalevin.com/coaching. It's worth the $49 just to watch this one class. I am not kidding. She's amazing. Amazing. Lauren, thank you so much. But I'm going to walk the talk this week and not record a podcast as much as I so want to. And I love you, but I need some rest. So I am going to do my monthly topic and give you guys an amazing replay, because the only way we can really take care of ourselves is if we have a positive relationship with ourselves. So this is not just some pep talk episode. I want you to listen to this. I want you to understand the mechanics of having a good relationship with yourself. It was episode 89. So this is almost 100 episodes ago. Most of you, if you've heard it, have forgotten it by now and could use a refresher. I'm going to be listening again. All right, my friends, enjoy. Hello, my friends. Welcome back. This is our first back to normal episode after the Summer Guru series. I don't know about you. Well, I know about some of you because you messaged me and told me, but this series was way beyond my expectations. There were so many amazing takeaways, some women who really shared very openly and very courageously and honestly and were so inspiring. And I know that a lot of you had the same experience that I did. So I'm so grateful that we were able to have those women come on and share their expertise. But here we are, back to coaching, which I'm super excited about also. I don't know if you guys can hear my kids in the background, but we're going to do this anyway, and they're very cute, and hopefully they won't bother you too much. So I'm really excited to be back to some of our normal coaching, but we have a lot of really fun things in the works for the podcast after this summer. Two big things. Number one, because there was such a strong positive feedback from the Summer Guru series, we are actually continuing the Guru series on a monthly basis. So you will still be hearing from people. If you have recommendations, I know sometimes some of you have already reached out to me and said, I'd love to hear such and such on your podcast. Keep sending those suggestions my way, or go tell them. Talk to Kayla. Because if there are people you want to hear from, and especially in the context of the kind of conversations we have here on the podcast, then I want to know. And I want to try and work that out. Let's actually get to the podcast episode of today. We have a lot of new listeners, and I wanted to kind of step back and think about, like, if somebody is pretty new to the podcast, but also for those of you who've been around here for a while, I know sometimes we need to reinforce concepts to really get to a place of ownership. This is one of the things that I love doing in the group programs that I run, which is that we take a lot of this stuff that we like, now we kind of understand it intellectually, and we bring it down into our real life, and we actually start implementing on all of these ideas and using them in our life. So we are actually seeing really dramatic changes in the way we're experiencing our life and actually how our life is going. But I want to be able to provide a little more of that here in the podcast as well. So over the next three episodes, we're going to be talking about three fundamentals of understanding thought work. And I'm going to talk about them in the context of relationship. So today's podcast, as you know, is called Your Relationship with Yourself. Next week, we'll be talking about your relationship with your husband, because this is first year married, after all. And finally, we'll be talking about your relationship with others. Here's a relevant tangent for you. First of all, the topic, your relationship with yourself, was inspired by many calls, coaching calls and personal messages and individual calls that I've been having lately with people who are sort of struggling in this area. I wrote out my outline for what I wanted to talk about in this episode, but then earlier today, we were cleaning out our garage.
And as we're going, I was kind of like noticing the different categories of things that are in the garage. Okay. So we moved into this apartment like maybe 5 months ago. There were things that we put there because we want them in the garage. Like it's said on the box or whatever, garage, like for the movers. This was, you know, this is things that we have for the holidays. This is, you know, out of season clothing, things that belong in the garage, right? Empty suitcases that we use for travel, which we're not traveling right now, but they still belong in the garage, right? Then there were things that we put there for now, but we don't really want there, right? So in Israel, like a lot of Europe, there are no built-in closets in most apartments. You actually buy a physical wardrobe closet. And one of the ones that we brought over from our old apartment was actually too tall for the ceiling in this one, which no one thought to check because it didn't seem like the ceilings in the old apartment were so high. So we have all the pieces of this very large closet because they didn't fit. And now we have to sort of figure out what we want to do. If anyone is listening and wants a very tall closet and you live in the Beit Shemesh area, reach out to me. Otherwise, we just have to find time to get it all to the dumpster, right? That's something that we put there intentionally. Like, we know it's there. You know, if you were to ask me what's in your garage, I for sure know that it's there, but I don't want it there. And then there are things I didn't even know were there until I started cleaning it out. Like, I didn't know people were eating pretzels in here. Why are there pretzels in here? Okay. So there are things that were there that I had no idea how they got there. And then the other thing that was so interesting to me was there was all this dust. And I was like, where did that even come from? Like, I don't get, I mean, I'm sure those of you who like know science and stuff can tell me where dust comes from, but there's like all this extra dust. And it was like, we don't use this space so much. Like there's, what's creating all this dust? I guess, I don't know. So not use. Okay. Those are my categories. And I was thinking that our brains are so much like that. We have opinions and values that we've investigated very deeply. You know, things that we cultivated for ourselves, we owned them, we had an amazing class or a life experience that helped us develop them, and we have a personal relationship with them, and we put those in our brain, right? We know they're there and we want them there. Then we have ideas about ourselves that we struggle with, things we totally know that they're there. If you were to say to me, what's wrong with you? If I were to say to any of you, what's wrong with you? Your brain would like immediately suggest some things, right? Those things that we think that's wrong with us or things I need to be working on or that I struggle with or I'm not so good at. You know, I hear that a lot. I'm just not good at this. So we know those are there, but we kind of rather they weren't. And then we have other people's opinions, which might be about us or about the world, about what it means to be good as a wife or a woman or in your given career. We don't usually investigate those because they weren't ours, so we don't expect them to end up in our garage, right? And we actually don't really even notice that they did get dumped in our garage, but often when I'm coaching someone and we go digging for like, why are you feeling shame in this experience, in this situation? Why are you feeling embarrassed? Why are you feeling insecure? A lot of times what pops up is actually one of these, right? It's something that we just sort of got left with from our culture or from the media or from the people in our lives or teachers. We didn't really intentionally put them there, but they were there. And then sometimes there's just dust, right? Which to me is like that feeling that I just can't see it all clearly. It's all kind of cobwebby. Like, how do I even know what I'm thinking anyway? I'm trying to look into my head, but it's not clear. It's not like I can see all my thoughts, right? So what do I do with that? Why is this relevant to our relationship with ourselves? Because your relationship with yourself is nothing except the sum total of the thoughts that you have about yourself. That's it. We want to think it's more than that, that it's more profound or it's more literal. But all that our relationship with ourself is what we think about ourself. And what's so interesting is that sometimes we'll struggle with a given thought for a long time. We'll struggle with, you know, something that we're hard on ourselves about or something like that. Sometimes it takes a very long time and a lot of consciousness and a lot of awareness to work on those and to move into a more positive place. And sometimes it just comes with one moment of awareness and the shift happens. So if our relationship with ourselves is just a sum total of all the thoughts that we have about ourselves, so why do we hang on to negative thoughts? We all want to feel good, but we're so resistant. Like, this will happen all the time. I'll be talking to one of you, and I'm like, well, that's a pretty negative thing to think about yourself. Why do you think that? And you'll say, because if I give it up, then I'm never going to work on it. I'm not going to want to change it. I still hope that it'll go away. It's fascinating to me because we have so much research at this point that shame doesn't create growth. And yet we continue to shame ourselves. We have a drive that to correct something, we should criticize it. There's a lot of science talking about how women's social wiring is really strong, and it's more strong. I don't mean strong in a good way necessarily. I mean, like, literally it's more tough. It's stronger than the social wiring for men. For instance, little girls pick up on nonverbal cues much younger than little boys, right? And I've heard it said from multiple people that the possible explanation for that would be that women rely on a social network for survival, that it's somewhat of a survival instinct to be approved of and to fit in and to understand all the rules. Now, if you think about it, if we picked up on all those nonverbal cues so early, that means we've been interpreting everyone's opinions of us from a much, much longer than most men. We have this drive to want to be accepted because it protects us. It feels safer that way. And so if someone else criticizes us, then assuming it's somebody whose opinion we remotely care about, we want to correct it, right? We want to fit in. We want to be approved of. We have that drive. Even if we don't intellectually want to feel that way, we don't intellectually want to just be a follower or be a people pleaser. There's that drive underneath. But it's still a myth. It's still a myth because it's a very superficial correction. And most of what we're trying to do, that we're trying to work on, if it's your time management or your eating habits or procrastination or honesty or whatever the value or the thing is, your goal you're trying to work on, criticism only puts us deeper into a place of feeling despair or insecurity or shame. And what do we do when we're in those places? We don't put on our gym clothes and run to the gym. That's not what you do from shame. Sometimes you process, you go through the shame or you avoid the shame and you switch to a new thought. But when we're in a place of shame, we're not moving into a productive, growth-oriented place. We're kind of just hiding from the world. We're hiding from that emotion. So the drive to criticize, to correct, is a fallacy. It doesn't work. And so we just want to have awareness. Right, don't criticize yourself to correct that you try to criticize yourself to correct now, okay? I'm already imagining some of the messages. Oh gosh, Kayla, I totally do that. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to give you one more thing you're doing wrong. Just have awareness. Just notice it, right? It's just like when your brain is like, oh, there you go. Like, you should have gotten up an hour ago and now you're going to be late. You always do this. You know, you don't have self-control. Like, no, that doesn't even work. That's what I like to say to my brain. I don't fight it. I'm not like, that's not true. I have complete self-control. I'm perfect. No. I'm like, that's ineffective, brain. Find a new line of argument that will actually help me here, because that one, it doesn't work. I'll show you some studies. Okay? So just start to notice it if you have that. No, that's that drive to criticize, to correct. It doesn't work. I wanted to just share a couple other thoughts for you when it comes to our relationship with ourselves. This one I'm learning right now with my coach, Brooke Castillo. And she actually has a couple podcast episodes on this, so I'm happy to link those in the show notes. She talks about our past self and our future self. And to be honest, the first time she talked about this was kind of like, okay, this is kind of cuckoo. It doesn't make any sense. And then I started actually using it a lot in my own self-coaching and some of the goals that I have for myself. And what does that mean? One thing that means is that I respect the person who made the choices in the past. Does that mean I agree with all the choices I've made? Absolutely not. But when I look back, I don't let myself beat her up. I can have compassion for her. I can have empathy. But just like I'm not going to criticize to correct myself in the present moment because it's not effective, it's for sure not effective to criticize to correct my past self who doesn't even exist anymore. But what ends up happening is it affects the way that we feel about ourselves now. Because if I've always messed up in the past, if that's what the narrative that I have about myself is, you always mess up, you always do this, you never da-da-da-da, here's all my evidence, here's all the times you got it wrong, then that culminates into my self-image today. But what's equally true, if you were to take any situation where when you think back about it, you cringe a little bit, or you're like, I wish I had done that, or why was I like that? You could just as equally have a conversation with yourself about, yep, she was struggling, right? Or she didn't get it. She didn't have that life experience yet, right? And so I want to encourage you to be also aware, with compassion and maybe some humor, of the way you talk about your past self and the choices that you've made. And for me, a lot of this has just been a matter of insisting on more positivity, insisting on having my back. It's not a matter of like, I need to come up with a nice new thought. It's more like if I had one kid who was always criticizing the other kid, and I would just be saying, we don't talk like that in this family. It's like that in my own head. Like, you can't talk to me like that. Me. Don't do that. Right. And look, what's also true is that was a hard time, or that, yeah, that was a mistake. I was human. Of course I made a mistake. Totally okay. All right. So your past self, getting some awareness, how you're relating to her. Can you have more compassion and understanding for her the way you probably would for almost anyone else in your life? The other one is your future self. And this is probably the one where I really thought Brooke was bonkers. But the more that I work on this, the more I really love it, which is when I think of my future self almost as like my twin sister. Like, I love her deeply. I identify with her deeply. Myself 5 years from now, if I can do something a little hard to take care of her, to set her up more for success, because I love her so much, then I'm, first of all, building whatever it is that I need to be working on, right? I'm building that up, and that's going to put her in a completely different place when she comes around, right? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 2 months from now. But it is actually me, right? It's not a different person in 10 years. Which means that I am investing in myself, right? So when I am willing to do some hard work, for me, this is right now, I'm doing a lot of self-coaching over my blood sugar. So I use a lot of the same tools that people use in weight loss coaching. But for me, it's much more about, it's really just eating healthy and eating things that work for me for really good management. And sometimes I really want to eat that thing and I just don't want to deal with it. And for my current self, that's a call I can make, because it only affects me 10, 15, 20 years down the line. But if I develop a relationship with that future self and I start loving and looking out for that future self, now my whole relationship with myself then and now has changed. So those are the two pieces, right? Your current self, your how you talk to all of these, how you treat all of these, your current self, your past self, and your future self. And I just want to just remind your brain that the next time that you're trying to try on some more kindness for yourself and you're resisting it because it feels really awkward and it makes you really self-conscious and it just feels like you shouldn't talk to yourself like that. Like, what are you? Self-centered? Egotistical? Who thinks they're great? Really? Right? And what I want to tell you is that, as I said, A, it doesn't work to be self-critical, only makes you hide more, right, from yourself and from reality, and it mostly reinforces the negative feelings that create all the negative patterns that you don't like in the first place, but B, there's no such thing as thought police. There's nobody out there checking that you're not thinking anything about yourself that's not agreed upon by the entire tribe, right? You could just decide you have incredible integrity and you're such a hard worker and you really care about people and these are things that make you really a phenomenal person. And the next time you're like, yeah, but you know, you're not organized, be like, yeah, but I mean, look at all the good stuff. Like, who even cares? Yeah, I'll work on it if I want to. But not being organized, why would I feel bad about that? Look how much I care about everybody. Look what a great friend I am. Look how growth oriented I am. I listen to the First Year Married podcast. I love personal development. Okay. All right. So we're going to come back on next week to talk about your relationship with your husband. I hope this has been a helpful reminder. I know that, I don't know what it is about COVID, but I think some of you, from what I'm hearing from you guys, you're just beating yourself up even more, as if like people know how to do COVID life, you know, no one knows what they're doing, guys. So no one's judging you for not knowing. So you don't have to be judging yourself anymore. You could totally let yourself off the hook. Okay. And I hope this has also just given you a little bit more clarity on why we care about what we're thinking. Because we want to look at, we get really attached to like, these are the thoughts I think I should have. And we don't actually check what they create for us in our life. And in this case, the more positivity, it has to be believable, but you can do that. The more positivity we generate, you're going to like your results a lot better than what you're going to get from self-criticism. All right. I really want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what you're working on. I want to hear how this is resonating with you. If you need any help, of course, you can always reach out to me. If you haven't done First Year Married yet, if you're a newlywed, you might want to start there. You can go check it out. It's much more marriage fundamentals, the essentials that I want you to know, that I don't want you to take 10, 15 years to figure out. I want you to know it coming out of the gate. If you've been married longer or you've already taken First Year Married, I cannot wait to do this work with you. The curriculum for this program is so exciting and there's tons up there. I would so love to have you join us. So if you have questions, you can always reach out to me. Otherwise, I will meet you back here next week on the podcast for your relationship with your husband. Bye-bye. Hey there, Kayla here. If you've been loving the podcast, I want to invite you into my monthly coaching program, How to Glow. We take all the work here and go much deeper into our expectations of our husbands, our understanding of our husbands, ourselves, by the way, our intimate lives. We even extend it out to anything else you want coaching on, your parenting, your finances, your health. Get ongoing support, live weekly coaching, and access to my best courses for only $49 a month. I would love to coach you inside. Registration is open now. Sign up at kaylalevin.com/coaching. Isn't this the best time to start?